happens. Can I hear an amen? We must always go in service today. Next Sunday morning is Chinese New Year celebration. Some of you will be going off, but many decided to stay. I was talking to Isaac just now. He said, this is the best time to stay around, Pastor, because all the roads will be empty. Nice to drive. No traffic jams. Let's hope that is so. All right? But I trust that you will have a good time during the Chinese New Year. Pray that God will be able to use you to influence others for Christ. Remember to take those little cards that we have outside. Some of them are still outside, right? We've got those little cards. Make sure you give them to somebody. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You know about the little cards we have? Okay, make sure you get those cards. Last week I saw almost all gone, so we have replenished them. Make sure you take them with you. I've got a few tracks that I got my friend from the States, in Bangladesh, and he gave some tracks to hand out to some Bangladeshis that we may meet. And somebody said, but Pastor, they are Muslim. It doesn't matter. They still need Jesus, don't they? Come on, amen. I think all your friends who are also working with you, who are of the other faith that we're not supposed to reach, we are supposed to reach. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we're not supposed to reach them. They need Jesus Christ as much as you need Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Everybody needs the Lord. Amen? People need the Lord. Okay, this morning we want to talk about from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1. Just before we go into that, now I want us to know that as we come into this Gospel, it's a fantastic Gospel. Because, you know, as I begin to read, go into it again, it has just captured my heart to see how Jesus wants to come in and completely transform our lives. Come on, amen. Our whole life. I mean, it's not just physical. I'm not talking about the physical realm. But everything that you touch will now be blessed because Jesus is in your life. Amen. You know, every morning I come to church. At least I try to come early this sanctuary, and I lay hands on every chair, and I pray that God will bless every person mightily. Amen. And so when I see an empty chair, I get a bit upset because there's nobody there to get blessed. But God wants to bless you. Can I hear an amen? I feel that in my spirit. I feel this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I keep hearing that again and again. It is an acceptable time in God's calendar. So Mark chapter 1, let's go into this verses 1 through verse 24. Okay, everybody going to read this with me? Will you read this with me, please? For your own sake. All right, let's go. Then they entered Capernaum. When the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were astonished at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, he was interrupted by a man who was demonized, deeply disturbed and yelling out, "What business do you have here with us, Jesus of Nazarene?" All right. "I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God and you've come to destroy us." Jesus shut him up. "Quiet, get out of him." The afflicting spirit threw the man into spasms, protesting loudly, and got out. Everyone there was incredulous. So they began to argue with one another, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever, and immediately they told him about her. Jesus went to her, and taking her by the hand, raised her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. All right, let's stop there for this morning. I want to talk about he came to me, all right? To me, basically. He came to me. All right, thank you. full name of Christ, like we should know Him. He is not just Jesus the man. He's not just Christ the anointed. He's not just the Son of Man. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is only just begun. It's only just begun. You know, it's only just begun. This is the beginning. You see the starting. This is not the beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of Joseph and Mary. This is the Son of God. And so he doesn't spend time going into the details of the whole story of Christ being born and everything else, the whole Christmas story. He comes bang on presenting Christ going into the wilderness so that man can get back into the garden. Come on, amen. That's the whole purpose of Christ coming. He said, I have come that you might, come on, talk to me, you might have life and have it more abundantly. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy every work of the devil so that we can start to enjoy life like we should be enjoying life. Life is to be enjoyed. Come on, amen. Huh? We don't survive in life, we thrive in life. This is the way God made man to live. Amen. So Christ has come to bring this back into it. Now, what happens is He comes and He calls His disciples. They leave the world and everything that the world has to offer to receive all that Christ has to offer. The kingdom of God and everything that the kingdom has to offer. And He simply says something like, everything that you see in this world will pass away. Everything that you see in the world, everything that you can see will pass away. But the kingdom of God will last forever. And the things that God presents to you will last forever. Come on, amen. And when He blesses you, He adds no sorrow to it. If we try to bless ourselves, if we try to gather goods to ourselves, you know, without the help of God, I'm telling you, man, soon it will bring sorrow. It will bring pain. But when you begin to allow God to come into your life and let Him bless you, there will be no sorrow to it. There will be such a joy as He begins to bless you. Come on, amen. So now they are on a great roller coaster ride. You know, it starts, sometimes the going up can be a little bit slow. But then suddenly everything starts to accelerate. And God will take us on these rides. Sometimes things may be a little slow. But then it'll get exciting. The ride with Christ is an exciting ride. Come on, amen. But I'm at that age now, I don't go on roller coaster rides. Right? Because they say there very clearly, you know, your heart may give out. And so I may go on the kiddies one, but not on the thunderbolts and all of that, right? So here we have Christ bringing rapid acceleration at certain times in our lives. Sometimes He slows us down. But the whole story is when Christ comes in, everything starts to change. Everything starts to change. So the first point I want to bring to you is that Jesus comes to church. That's the first thing that happens. The meeting place that we read about is actually the synagogue. All right? Now, what I like about it is you find several times as you read through the Gospels where Christ goes to the synagogue. Very seldom do you find Him going into the temple. If He did go into the temple, there was only one time where He cast out all the money changers. Remember that scene? Where He got really angry and He got Himself a whip and He chased everybody out. But this time He goes into the synagogue and He starts to teach. I think God loves a group of people that will not just be caught up with all the glamour of Christianity. Sometimes, you know, like the people who went to the temple, they liked everything in the temple. Because it was the most beautiful building ever. It was built by Herod. He was called Herod the Great simply because he was a great builder. And the temple was overlaid with gold. And so everything, when you entered, everything about the temple was, you know, grand and big. But you notice, you know, there was a time when there was a great celebration. It was called the celebration of the feast. And instead of coming to the temple, the Bible says Jesus goes to a pool called Siloam. And there at the pool were many people who were filled with diseases. And instead of entering the temple with the rest of the people, He focused on the people who really had needs. He went to the synagogue where people were really interested in the Word of God. And there He began to teach. Now, the thing about it is, what they said about Him is very interesting. It says, as he began to teach, he had a message of authority. He did not teach as the teachers of the law. Now, I want you to understand something here. If there was anybody who had authority to teach the law, it was Jesus. For he was the giver of law. Come on, amen? All right? Now, I was sharing with some of the pastors the other time. I said, as pastors, we need to understand, unless we are doing, we will not have the authority to teach. Jesus began to do and teach. Come on. If I am not a good father in the home, I cannot teach my son how to be a good father. If I do not know how to be a generous person, I cannot teach people to be generous. I said to the pastors, if you want your church to be a giving church, then you yourself as a pastor must be a giver. Come on. I cannot teach people to be generous in their life if I myself am stingy with my life. I cannot teach anything if I do not practice, because once I do that, I will not have the authority. I said, I can stand up here and preach on giving, and yet if I don't give, there will be no authority. So what was the difference between Jesus and the teachers of the law? They taught the law, but they did not practice the law. Therefore, they did not have the authority. Come on, amen? That's one of the things. The second thing was, they were teaching the law. And when you teach a law, like I said, because they didn't practice the law, nobody could practice the law. Paul himself said, if you fail in one law, you have broken all the laws. So none of them qualified actually to teach on the law. And they were now, this is what Jesus said, you travel the oceans to make one convert, and then when you bring him back, you make him 10 times more the sons of hell. So the teaching of the law was not helping them any. Now Jesus comes on the scene, and he starts to teach in the synagogue. What was Jesus actually teaching in the synagogue? Let's look at this scripture. I want you to read this with me. Luke chapter 4, okay? Everybody go and read with me again. Let's read the scriptures once it comes up. All right. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now, the reason why I want you to read is because blessed is he who reads and who hears, right? So it's important for you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Amen? That you will grow. All right, one more time. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being acclaimed by everyone. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered where? The synagogue on the seventh day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," or the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this morning, you know, while just praying for the service kind of thing, it suddenly dawned on me that Jesus was not talking about the importance of the Spirit of the Lord upon him. You know, sometimes we go, you know, God's Spirit is upon me. The point is, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I place value on all these people I've just mentioned, the oppressed, the poor. You understand what I'm saying? Those who are bruised, those who are in captivity. They are so valuable that God has decided I must have the Spirit in order to break this thing that is over their lives. I hope you're following with me. Now, the Spirit of the Lord would not be upon me if all these needs were not present. Come on. It is because these people come in with all these problems, all these difficulties. They are so bound, and I love them so much. Jesus, you cannot function as a man. I'm going to anoint you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I hope that makes sense to you. How many of you want to see a greater anointing in the church? Come on. You want to see a greater anointing? I pray for the greater anointing. You know when it's going to take place? It will never happen. We will not see it unless these people come in. Because the Spirit of the Lord will anoint because there are such people that need help. And so if I want to see the anointing of God again, or see it happen in services, why is it when we go to places where there are so many sick people and all that, sick people start getting healed? Why is it that people get help? Why, when we go into crusades like in India or even in Thailand, we see many people, even small groups of people, yet people get healed. Why? Because they need help. And so the Spirit of the Lord will anoint when help is needed. That's why He had the authority. And He began to preach a different... And He closed the book just before it said judgment. Because He says, listen, this is not the time for judgment. This is the time where you are accepted in the Lord. Amen? But what I like about it is, again and again, it keeps repeating the fact that Jesus loves His church. He comes to the synagogue. And that is where He declares His mission to us, His people. Come on, amen? The book of Revelation is a fantastic book. Very hard to understand. I hardly try to understand. Because John himself, who wrote the book, didn't really understand. So he wrote words like, and I saw as it were, and I saw as, which means that I don't know really what I saw, but I think this is what I saw. Because it's very hard to describe what you see that is out of this world. You know what I'm saying? You see, all of you like to watch sci-fi movies, right? You like to watch, do you watch movies? Oh, praise God, there's none of you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now listen, man. You watch any movie, any sci-fi movie, you'll find the monsters will always have eyes. They can see, they can hear, and they like to eat. Why? Because that is in the context of what we understand. We cannot think of a monster that cannot see, cannot hear, cannot eat, cannot. It must be within what we can think. Right? So when John sees all these things, he cannot, so he's trying to describe what he to explain in the best way possible. And if he could not see, then I don't know why some people write so much about how they understand the book of Revelation. Okay. You know, so I just read what I do understand. Now, this is what he sees. He sees Jesus. And Jesus is walking among seven golden stands. And all the golden stands represent the church. And then he comes hard against some of the churches. The message is quite hard. He rebukes them for what they are doing. But at the same time, he's also saying to them, please, if you repent, then I will give you this. And then at the end he says, he that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So he does not give up hope. And all the churches are described as golden. Not some wooden, some, you know, clay. Every church is golden. Every church. Some churches may be very small, struggling. Some may have even a wrong doctrine. But God loves them and wants them back because they are His. Come on, amen? Hallelujah. And when we look at ourselves, you know, sometimes we think we are just not perfect. But I want you to know the fact that you are part of a church means that God really loves you. Do you know that somebody else could be in your seat this morning? But you are sitting here. Why? Because God really loves you. Amen? So the message that He has is one of lifting us up. The message of authority is one that brings light. It brings liberty. That's the message He had. He said, and this is the time we must share that message. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? He's got a good message for His church. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes to church. Our question that we need to ask ourselves is, do I love the church as Jesus loves the church? Imperfect as it may be, do I love the church? You know, I was listening, somebody sent me, I think it was Brother Sam Daniel, who sent me a little video clip on Benny Hinn speaking about the Roman Catholic Church. He says, the thing about the Catholic Church is they do not hop from church to church. They just go to the church. You know, even in Hinduism and Buddhism, it doesn't matter who the priest is. Whether he's good-looking or fat and ugly, they're still in the temple. Come on. The only problem with the charismatic and Pentecostal churches is we hop. That one better, we go that one. This one better, we pick and choose what we want. And the Bible calls us carnality. where we want a Peter instead of a Paul, where we want a Apollos, then we are carnal. What we need to understand is we must have a love for our church. Can I hear an amen? It's not that our church is great. In fact, it is far from great. But we must love the house of God. Love the people of God. Come on, can I hear an amen? Jesus would go into any synagogue. He didn't say, well, it depends on the synagogue, whether the priest is good, whether the people there are okay, whether they are seeking me. He would just go in. Why? Because when he comes in, he brings change. Amen? He is the only one that can make us right. Amen. Roll back the scroll and get back to the attendant. He began to say, today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. It is the acceptable. My coming fulfills the acceptable year of the Lord. Come on, amen. Huh? It fulfills the acceptable year of the Lord. The demonstration of this authority. Now he begins to speak to the demon. And basically, let me see if I have... All right, go back again. The English, remember this is King James English, and it is a very polite book. So it says, he said to the demon, be quiet. Actually, it is a very rough word. It is shut up. Jesus is never polite to demons. Neither should you be. You demon, will you please come out? No such thing as please. Come out means come out. So he just shouted. But the point is this. Did you notice that the demons never showed their strength or she yelled and go into spasms when the other priests were teaching? All the year he was coming to church. Every year the guy who had demons would come and sit in the synagogue. But yet not once did he scream when these guys were teaching. How come? Because demons love religiosity. They do not like radical living. And so when Christ comes in, a radical king preaching a radical gospel of change and transformation, demons start reacting. Demons love it when we just be religious, come religiously to church, do everything religious, as long as we don't become radical for Christ and say, Lord, I love you, worship Him radically, love one another radically, come on. Amen. When the church begins to take on this whole new thing of, let's move on with God, let's get things done for God, I'm telling you, demons get stirred up. They always do. When people want to move on, when you decide this year, 2018. Sorry. I'm still behind World War I. You know, in 20, terrible, huh? I'm still in 19, can you imagine not? You can tell that I don't sign checks just by saying that. Alright, so anyway. I do sign checks, but I do not know what I'm signing. Okay, anyway. Here today, gone tomorrow. All right. 2018, when you start this year, you're just at the beginning as a threshold. You have made up your mind, you know, I want things to be done, especially in your spiritual life. You have said, Lord, I really want to follow after you. I really want to pray. Now, once you start doing that, I guarantee you there are going to be all kinds of distractions. I mean, you can be watching a movie, a nice Hindi movie that lasts 24 hours. With 75 songs, I mean, no distractions. You don't go to the bathroom. But the moment you say you want to pray, man, you start getting up. I think I need to go to the bathroom. I think I need to do this. I think I need to... Did I turn off this light? I didn't turn off. Did I lock the door today? You know, all kinds of distractions will come in. The moment you decide, you want to do what God wants you to do. The moment you start talking to a... You say, I want to talk to a friend about the Lord. The moment you just advance towards that person, somebody else will come in and interrupt the conversation. So you say another time. Instead of saying, I'll just wait until this is over and go for it. Anytime you want to do something radical for the Lord, demons will start to act. That's why Jesus had to demonstrate his authority. And he has the authority to come against every demon that troubles us. Come on, amen. And he's fierce against demons. Right? Because they'd come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now Jesus comes home. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went into the home of Peter and Andrew. Basically, immediately, as soon as they left, some translations, directly when they left. Immediately when they left the temple, Jesus went to the home. Now here's the question. How many of us leave Jesus in church and go home? Do we say, Lord, come back home with us? We want your presence to be with us. Do we covet his presence? I come from, you know, denominational kind of a background in the sense because my grandmother was denominational. And in our home, my father respected her. He was never a practicing Hindu anyway. But he respected my grandmother, so he allowed her to put... There were pictures in my home. There were three pictures. One was the face of Christ. I think in almost every home, Methodist home, you'll have that. It's called the salmon head. Not salmon, no. By the way, the word, that fish is salmon. Huh? The L is silent. It's the salmon head. S-A-L-L-M-A-N. Walter Salmon is the one who painted the picture of Christ. Very nice, very handsome. You know, almost a side profile, but just a little bit long hair up to his shoulders. How many of you know the picture I'm talking about? You know the picture I'm talking about? Y'all don't know. Y'all don't have not seen. I mean, it's one of the most famous pictures, man. Yeah? I mean, if Desmond has seen it, man, all of you guys definitely would have seen it. You know, it's a very religious picture, but beautiful. You look at it a long time, you begin to think, if this is what Christ looked like, man, he is really good looking. But actually, he was not very good looking. His nose was very big, you know, and everything about him was not. The Bible says it very clearly. There's no beauty in him when you look at him to desire him. Just an ordinary man. You know why? Because he can identify with Mila. If all good looking like Raymond Thomas Smith, how, man? Very difficult, huh? So he was, but the point is, we have that picture in a home. Then we had another framed up thing, and this is what it says, Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. That was another one. The third one, which is almost in every quote unquote Christian home, Christ is the head of this home, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. See, from the time I was a child, I saw these pictures. That's why I remember. Huh? All the pictures are there. But I tell you, my house don't have much peace, man, when you got 11 children. And Christ was really the figurehead of our home. Figurehead, you know. You know figurehead, not? Yang dipertuan agong. Figurehead. The Queen of England. You know what I'm saying? Queen. Figureheads. But he was unseen. Literally. What they said? True. He was the unseen guest. You know, like nobody sees him. Nobody knew he was there. And he never got involved in the conversation. He just sat there silently listening to every word. And that's the way we like to keep him. But when he comes in, when you take him, when you say to him, God, I don't want it to just be a church thing, because you want to come to our homes. I want to invade your schools. I want to invade your offices. Take me back with you. When they said, Jesus, come on back to our home, immediately he said yes. When Jairus said, my daughter is at home and she's sick, he could have easily said, I will speak a word and your daughter shall rise. But when he invited him, he went. Whenever Christ is invited, he goes. Zacchaeus, the man, the small man on a big tree. Jesus goes to his home, speaks to Matthew. Matthew says, come to my home. Matthew was a tax collector. Anyone who invites him, he will go. Come on, amen. He will go. And this is the wonderful thing about it. The sad part is we often leave him in church. It's just like, you know, going to any other, many religions, they have them only in like the temples. But this is not just the temple. Jesus goes with us. He has feet and he walks. Can I hear an amen? Now, Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately, they told him about her. Somebody once said, I'm sure you heard this one before, why did Peter deny the Lord? Answer, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. All right, some of you, a little slow, but go back and ask your wife. Fevers make us uneasy. Sometimes we are hot, sometimes we are cold. Fevers cause us to lose our appetite. Fevers cause us to lose our sleep. We wish it was morning, and then when morning came, morning comes, we want it to be night. There's such an uneasiness. We become miserable, and we love to sleep in a room that is totally dark, and then cover ourselves and just don't want to talk to anybody. And sometimes that can affect us. It places us in a horizontal position. In other words, we are just lying down all the time. And you notice the number of people that Jesus raised up from the mats. People who are in a horizontal position, who could not lift up themselves. And that's what Christ comes to do. He comes to lift us up. The important thing is they told him about it. Told him about the mother-in-law. They tell Jesus, mother-in-law is sick. Now, do we pray? Do we really pray and tell Jesus about everything? Do we share our hearts with him? Do we say, Lord, this is what we are going through? Do we honestly expose ourselves to him? And so, Lord, this is the need that we have. Don't like it's the last minute and then we say, oh yeah, what to do, pray. There's no such thing. We need to pray about everything. Paul tells us that's the remedy to have a peaceful mind and a peaceful heart. Be anxious over nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will govern your hearts. It will govern your minds. Pray, church. Learn to pray. Prayer is the only thing that opens up the kingdom of God. You need to pray. Doesn't matter who you are. Say, oh, I don't know how to pray. Neither do I. I can pray for hours saying to God, I don't know how to pray. I can walk up and down saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray. You got to lead me. You got to help me to pray. I need to pray for something. I don't know how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Why do you think the disciples came up to Jesus and said, teach us to pray? They didn't say teach us to preach. Teach us to do great things. They said, teach us to pray, Lord. Because they realized that when Jesus prayed, things began to happen. And so they say, we also want to pray. Remember when Jesus was on the earth with them, he was just a man. But they saw things that were unusual simply because they saw Jesus pray. And he's saying, we want to see the same unusual things. Listen, church. I want God to be involved in the problems. Because I want God kind of solutions. Come on, amen. Some of us need God solutions to the things that we face. Not just ordinary things. Man, if you can do it ordinarily, then, you know, you can help yourself, you know. My father's favorite scripture, he says, David, did you know that this is in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. I said, where in the Bible? He said, somewhere there. Now, many Christians believe that too. God helps only those who help themselves. But no. He wants to help those who cannot help himself. That's why help themselves. That's why he came. God with us to help us where we cannot help ourselves. Doesn't matter whether you're a young student in school, in primary. When you learn to pray, you will discover that God is there. Has nothing to do with age. Has nothing to do with maturity. Has nothing to do with anything. Just has to do with someone who comes to him. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come on, amen. They immediately told him about it. Have you noticed not that there's no pleasantries exchange? I mean, this is the first time he's walking into their homes, all right? They don't go, Jesus, would you sit down? Let's have a cup of tea, you know. Let's serve you. Do you like some coffee or some biscuits? There are no pleasantries when it comes to Jesus, huh? If you've got a need, tell him the need. I sometimes have to ask God to search my heart and say, search my heart, God. Because I don't want to be in a place where I'm trying to manipulate you. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Because I want things done, so I try to go around, beat around the bush in order to get him to do what he already wants to do. But because of how I'm praying, he has to delay the prayer until I get my inside correct. Don't try to manipulate God, man. He already wants to bless you. He already wants to make sure that you are whole, physically. You are whole emotionally. You're not in some dark room somewhere. He wants to bring you out. Come on, amen. Huh? They tell him about Jesus. And so Jesus goes into her room. This is a small little house. Their houses were small. Hardly any windows. Small little door. She's lying in a corner, all dark. And Jesus walks in. Suddenly the door opens. And she begins to close her eyes because now a little light comes in. And you are so uneasy. You're feeling absolutely miserable. And somebody interrupts your sleep. You want to rest. I mean, you cannot rest. Your body is aching. There's a fever burning. In fact, the correct translation is she is dying of a fever. She is burning hot. The word with a fever burning means burning hot. She's dying of a fever. So there's no time to waste when somebody is in that situation. Now, you don't have to live with your problems until tomorrow. Today itself, let God do something for you. Can I hear an amen? They said, Lord, you've got to do something, man. You've got to come in. They heard him preach that message. The Spirit of the Lord is there to meet all these needs. So, Lord, come on, meet this need. So as he walks in the light, she tries to strain her eyes, tries to open a little bit, and she sees this shadow coming in. The light is behind him. She cannot see his face clearly. You do not know who this stranger is, and that's how it is when we come to the Lord. Sometimes we do not know. We can't see him clearly, but he is standing there. And he walks into the room, and this is what we have been singing. When Jesus came to me, she couldn't come to where he was, but he came to where she was. That good. That's what the gospel is. So that's the good news. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The good news is I cannot go to him, but he comes to me. I'm down there feeling so bad. I feel so miserable in a little dark corner. It's called the dark night of the soul, whatever I'm going through. And I don't want anybody to come near me. I'm a little touch me not at this moment, but he comes to me. Because he doesn't want me to lie in that position. Doesn't want me to be there. Can I hear an amen? So he comes to where she is. And then it says this. He took her by the hand. Amen. Doesn't that Jesus look a little bit like Raymond Thomas? Raymond, does he look like you? A little bit, huh? With a beard maybe. He took her by the hand. I think it's about time we learn how to place certain things in the hands of the Lord. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to put things in Jesus' hands. Have you noticed that his hands are always reaching out? They're always empty, reaching out for ours, hoping that we will reach back and hold his hand. He goes and he takes her by the hand. Doesn't say a word. Just takes her by the hand, and immediately the fever leaves her. That's the wonderful thing about it. All we need is just one touch from the Lord. Just one touch. When he touches us, everything changes. Everything changes. This man was a businessman running a big, in those days, donkey business. Today it would be cars. His father had the best business in town. His name was Saul, businessman. Next in line to take over his father's business. The donkeys were the most expensive, more expensive than horses. And so he was running a very good business. Suddenly he discovers that God has called him to be king over Israel. He's absolutely afraid because this is the nation of God. Israel has never had a king in their entire existence, never. God has always been their God, their king. Now he is called to be king. He goes and he hides. The prophet says to him, says, don't worry about it. Just go on your way. You will meet some prophets coming down. Just go join yourself with them. Don't have to do anything. Just join yourself to them. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall be transformed into another man. One touch of God transforms Saul the businessman into Saul the king. One touch of God. That's all we need, come on. One moment in the presence of the King of Kings. One moment Joseph stands in the presence of Pharaoh and from a prisoner he becomes prime minister. One moment in the presence of the king. Come on, amen. Jesus walks in, and then he lifts her up. He lifts her up, takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up. That good news. See, God doesn't want us to be down. He doesn't want us to be in a horizontal position. He wants us to be vertical. Amen? That we will be able to see things clearly. That we will come out of our dark corners, that we will come into His light. And immediately she starts serving them. She's all on fire now. Come on, amen. She starts serving. That's a wonderful thing. Something happens in her life when Christ touches you, you automatically want to serve Him. Come on, amen. Amen. Which reminds me, we still need some VIPs. Sign up for it. And those of you who did sign up and say, we want to be involved in the internship program kind of thing. Listen, if you did sign up what's it called? VIP? Huh? Immersion. Okay, if you want to be a VIP, you want to volunteer, and you did sign up, please. When they have a pre-service, if your name is on it and they have a pre-service meeting, please come and meet them. Because that will be easier for you to know what you're supposed to be doing. It's okay? All right? We'd appreciate that one. That was free of charge commercial from the core team. So he lifted her up. He raised her up and she began to serve him. Now the last point I want to make, which is very important for all of us to know, is this is what will happen. When we begin to allow Christ to come into the church like he should, when he comes into our homes like he should, then the whole city comes to the Lord. Amen? I want to see people standing at the door, wanting to come in. Come on, amen. They all gathered at the door, wanting to come in, simply because Christ had come in. I pray this morning that you will allow him, not only we invite him to come into church, but we want him to come into our homes. That's the most important thing. Once he comes into your homes, when you come to a service, everything will be different. I want to encourage you also, every Sunday morning when we have our service, just before the service, from 9:30 we will be having a prayer meeting. I'd like you to come and join us if you can. It's 9:30 just outside here in the Chinese section room. We'll be having the service, having a prayer session there. So that when you come into the service, you will be blessed. God can speak to your heart. Don't just rush out of all that you are doing and then come and then try to get your heart quietened. It'll be a bit more difficult. So I want to just encourage you, if you can come early. Our service starts at 11 o'clock. So 9:30 you would be wide awake. Forget breakfast for one morning. You will not die, I guarantee you. Come and just spend time in the presence of God before service begins. Can I hear an amen? Alright, next Sunday I hope to see more of you who are not on Chinese New Year. Alright, I know Risha will be celebrating Chinese New Year, so the rest of us, if you can, make sure you come. But this is what will happen. When we begin to allow Christ to come in and exercise the authority that He wants to exercise, God's going to do some precious things. Learn to place everything in His hands. Amen? Place it all in His hands. And then watch God do things for you that you never could dream of. He is able to do, come on, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. Stand with me, please, as we bring this service to a close.